Welcome to Beyond Your Why podcast, where we go beyond just talking about your why and actually help you discover and then live your why. You see, we believe that knowing your why, that driving force behind every decision you make and every action you take, is the essential first step to really knowing yourself. It allows you to move forward faster and have a bigger impact. If you're already a fan of the show, then you know that every week we talk about one of the nine whys, and then we introduce you to somebody with that why so you can see how their why has played out in their life. This show will be more powerful for you if you've already discovered your why. If you still need to do that, head over to whyinstitute.com and discover your why today. It'll only take you about 5 minutes. Now, let's meet today's guest. This week, we're going to be talking about the why of contribute. To contribute to a greater cause, add value, have an impact in the lives of others. So if this is your why, then you want to be part of a greater cause, something that is bigger than yourself. You don't necessarily need to be the face of the cause, but you want to contribute to it in a meaningful way. You love to support others and you relish successes that contribute to the greater good of the team. You see group victories as personal victories. You are often behind the scenes looking for ways to make the world better. You make a reliable and committed teammate, and you often act as the glue that holds everyone else together. You use your time, money, energy, resources, and connections to add value to other people and organizations. So today, I have a great guest for you. Her name is Darnielle Harmon, and she is the award-winning, iconic, and incomparable two-time Inc. 5000 CEO of Incredible One Enterprises, LLC, a multi-million dollar coaching and consulting brand, best known for transforming the lives of her business coaching clients and live attendees. Darnielle equips her clients to leverage and scale businesses that serve them financially and spiritually. In fact, over the last 10 years, she has helped her clients generate more than $500 million in sales and more than $365 million in revenue. By teaching her award-winning Move to Millions method, Darnielle takes business owners from six figures a year to six figure quarters to six figure months, six figure weeks, and ultimately six figure days in record time while deepening their connection to God and strengthening their faith. Darnielle is a seven-time best-selling author, the creator of Five Powerful Business Systems, and the host of Move to Millions podcast with Darnielle J. Harmon. Now she is introducing the world to the book she was born to write, Move to Millions. Darnielle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Gary. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, this is going to be fun. I am looking forward to that. That's an awesome bio, and I can't wait to get into that. But tell everybody where you're from. And you know what? Tell them where you're from and what were you like growing up? What was your childhood like?
Okay. So I am from Newcastle, Delaware. That's where I live now. I'm a Delawarean. I know there's not a lot of them, or at least it appears like there's not, because every time I go somewhere, people always say, I've never met anyone from Delaware. So I am a Delawarean, the first state, right, to ratify the Constitution. And growing up, I was inquisitive. I was confident. I was committed to changing my life for the better. I am the product of drug addicted turned crack addicted parents. I was born in the projects here in Wilmington, Delaware, and I was able to defy a lot of odds and statistics to become the first in my family to graduate from high school, to go to college. I also have an MBA and an honorary doctorate degree. And I all of that is because at a very young age, I made a decision that I was not a product of my environment and that I was not a victim and that I could make different choices and I could get to where I most desired to be, which was rich and benevolent, helping other people and really positioned to transform the world.
So something important you said there, I could make different choices. What made you think that you could make different choices?
There had to be a possibility of doing something other than what I saw. Like, there's always, if you think about the law of polarity, right? There's, if there's a up, there's a down. If there's a right, there's a left. And so if that was bad, what I witnessed and saw my parents do, then there had to be a good, right? And so very early, very consciously, I just decided that where I was from wasn't going to be my story, and that I was going to get an education and really equip myself to be able to change my situation, my destiny, and to experience a different life than I came from.
What made you make that decision? What was the moment that you said, nope, not going to do this?
It was early. It was very, very early. So my mother went to jail when I was 8. So I remember it was during my 8th birthday party that our home got raided and they came and carted her off. And we went to live with my dad and my stepmom. And I'm really grateful that my dad stepped up and took us, because he could have been off in the world and we could have become wards of the state. And he did handle his responsibility and get us. And when we went to live with my father, it was interesting. Like, I didn't know what it was supposed to be, but I always felt like something was missing. I had friends as I was, you know, in middle school and high school who came from amazing families, and meaning they communicated, they ate dinner together. They really cared about one another. They weren't just a bunch of people with the same last name living in the same house, which is what I felt. I felt that that's what we were. We had the same last name and we lived in the same house. And as I started to get exposed, I believe exposure creates expansion. And so as I began to get exposed to different realities and what it could potentially be like, I got to make a choice, right? I am the author of my faith. I get to decide what my path is going to be. And I decided that I wanted something other than where I came from. And so everything that I did as a result of making that first decision was designed to get me closer to that. So being able to be the first to graduate from high school and go on to college, that was strategic. I studied. I made, you know, good relationships with the guidance counselors in high school because I didn't have money to apply for colleges, but they had stipends. So I had a good relationship with my guidance counselor so I could apply to all the schools without it costing me anything. I ended up going to the University of Delaware because they gave me a full ride that included them actually paying me money to go to school when it was all said and done because of my academic prowess. But I applied to schools out of the state. I just didn't want to have student loans when it was all said and done. And so that's why I ended up staying in Delaware and going to the University of Delaware. But I just knew, I just very consciously knew that what I was seeing was not the only choice and that I could make a different one.
So you wonder, or I wonder, if it was the vision or the decision that is what kept you, gave you the perseverance. What would you say?
I think it was both. I think the vision had to come first. I had to believe that there was something else that was possible for me, and I had to see myself as worthy to be able to enact that vision. But then I had to make a decision, and I had to make a decision frequently to continue to lean into the vision because, you know, once you first see it, it's not your reality. So there is an element of faith that what you see will actually come to be. And there's also an indication that there's work that has to be done, that there are steps, there are actions you have to take in order to realize that. But the vision came first. You have to see it in order to see it, in order to get to be able to experience it. And then you have to take the steps one step at a time in order to actually get closer. And so for me, as a child, the decision came early. It became easy because what I looked at around me, it wasn't desirable. And then the actions, the going to school, right? I had a lot of friends in high school that would cut like on the daily. Right. Going to school, going to class was an action, you know, studying and doing well on tests was an action, doing really, really well on the SATs was an action, getting into school and actually going to college was an action. These little incremental actions all led to who it built my character. It helped me to continue to solidify and reinforce and redecide based on the vision while also recalibrating the vision. Right. Because every time you elevate, your vantage point is different. And so that means that the things that you used to could see, you you can't see them as well anymore, but now you can see other things. And so there might need to be an adjustment to the vision and just being nimble and flexible with the vision, being clear that as long as I arrive at this point, how I get there can be fluid, but I am going to get there. And that's the level of conviction that comes with faith in yourself and faith in taking the actions that are going to get you closer.
So if we were to see you in high school, mm-hmm. there's Darnielle running around over there. What would we see?
You would see a really tall, lanky girl with a lot of legs and not a lot of anything else. Who is a self-starter. I was a cheerleader. I was, you know, quote unquote popular. I was really focused on being involved in the causes and the communities that I felt would continue to elevate me. So I was a member of student government. I was participating in ambassador programs to study in other places, right? I've always been an amazing communicator, both in writing and verbally. And so I was writing essays and winning essay contests and traveling the world based on my ability to write and to win these contests. I was at that particular point in time very clear that I was going to be a success. There was no question as to whether or not I would achieve my goal of being wealthy and ultimately being a philanthropist. There was no question.
How did you stay out of trouble?
Oh, I got into trouble, but I was smart. So I got in the kind of trouble that didn't hurt me, right? I said earlier, I was very inquisitive. I was very curious. And so I did, you know, I did a lot of things. I ran with the pack to a certain extent. I wasn't willing to do anything that would jeopardize my ability to go to college and my ability to be able to get, you know, scholarships and the support that I needed, because financially my parents just, they couldn't help me in that way. But I had my fair share of fun.
Okay.
I had my fair share of fun. I mean, I did cut school. I did the things that high schoolers do. I did the things that college girls do, but I never lost my identity and what was the bigger picture in any decision that I made. I always thought through, okay, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? And what's the best thing that could happen? And if the worst thing was way too far to the left, then it was probably something I wasn't going to do.
Okay, so graduate high school, off to college. Where'd you go to college?
I went to the University of Delaware. Okay. I did get into several schools. They gave me the most money, and it just, you know, it just made sense, right? I remember my dad telling me my senior year, he's like, you know, if you want to go to college, I think that's great, but I can't help you. And the only way I was going to get there, in my mind, I'm so grateful, Dr. Gary, that I never even thought about student loans. That was not an option or a possibility. I was only going to go if someone else was going to foot the bill for me. And so University of Delaware gave me the best package. I was far enough away from home to be away at college, but close enough that if I ever needed support from my family, that I would be able to get that support.
Awesome. Okay. Now, what was your major in University of Delaware?
English. So my undergraduate degree is in English with a concentration in business and technical writing. And then I have a minor in business administration.
And so you get done with college now and mm-hmm. off to, well, you said you got a master's after that?
I did, but not right away. So I was initially going to law school, which is why I studied English. And then I made a split decision at the last minute to decide not to go to law school. And so instead, I started working. So I went into corporate America in a Fortune 500 financial services company, entry-level position, making $19,000 a year. I remember buying my first house like 2 years later on a $22,000 a year salary, which is like so crazy. Very quickly thereafter, I started to progress in my career. So within 3 years, I was a vice president running a department. And I thought that I was going to retire at the bank. I honestly did not see entrepreneurship coming. It kind of snuck up on me. I was engaged to be married for the very first time in my 20s. And 3 months before my wedding, my ex-fiance confessed that he had gotten an older woman in our church pregnant. And the bottom literally fell out of my life. And as a result of that, one of my good friends would not let me sit and mope. And so she took me to a Mary Kay Cosmetics skincare class. And I went and I did half my face. I put the product on and it did make me feel better. And that's when I started wearing makeup and all of those things. And I loved the product so much that I started selling it extremely part-time. And then I started to become more engrossed and indoctrinated in the business and in that community. And I was introduced to personal development. And as a result of being introduced to personal development, I started to realize that I was not born to sit behind someone else's desk. And I started to consider the feasibility of what it would look like to leave my good job and go out into the land of entrepreneurship. And did I really have what it took? And so I did, in fact, quit my job. I literally walked into my boss's office one day in 2004 with no plan at all, Dr. Gary. And I said, today's my last day. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that I was being called to something higher. You talked about the why of contribution. And I knew that the difference that I was created to make, I wasn't going to make it selling or trying to get people to get credit cards. Like it was not going to be the thing. And so I quit. And while I was figuring out what I was going to do with my life, I started selling my Mary Kay Cosmetics full time. So I ended up becoming a sales director and then a pink Cadillac sales director and then a top sales director. And I really progressed up their career path. I did Mary Kay full time for about 2.5 years. And then I had a moment. I call it my Britney Spears moment. Oops, I did it again. Based on her song, I realized that I had traded one desk for another, that I still wasn't really doing what I was called to do in the world, that I still wasn't really contributing to something greater than myself. And so I decided to send my pink Cadillac back to the company because it's a lease. You don't get to keep the car. As long as you earn it and have met the requirements, then you get to drive it. So I sent my car back to the company and I started what is today Incredible One Enterprises. I didn't know what I didn't know, Dr. Gary. And so the first few years of the business were abysmal. They were really, really bad. I ended up blowing through all of my savings and living on credit cards to the tune of $250,000 in credit card debt. I ended up filing bankruptcy and going back to work. It was a very humbling experience, but it was also the best thing that ever happened to me because I got to learn what I didn't know about ground up business. I was so successful in Mary Kay because it was already a proven model and I followed the formula. Well, when you're starting your own business, there is no proven formula. You have to figure it out. And so I got to learn the things that I didn't know working part time on nights and weekends so that within 2 years, I could be back into the business full time on a mission to become unemployable and to really do the work that I was called to do. And so January 1st, 2011, I came back into the business full time on a mission to do this work powerfully, to help people to create businesses that will serve them both financially and spiritually. I am a woman of faith and my faith is very important to me. I don't believe in, you know, separating church and state. I believe in the combination because something powerful really happens when you access your spiritual foundation. And so I set on a path to build a business consulting company where I would work with entrepreneurs and small business owners that wanted to learn how to grow businesses that serve them, that didn't undermine their faith, that they didn't have to leave their faith, you know, on the seat next to them, that it could really go with them into the boardrooms in a way that would be honorable for the spaces that they would inhabit. And so that's the work that we've been doing for the last 14 years full time. And it has been amazing to watch many of our clients who are also the first to leave their good job and to start a business, the first to cross six figures, the first to cross seven figures, the first to become a millionaire, actually build businesses that will establish financial legacy, that they'll be able to leave their recipes, but they'll also be able to leave wealth to their family. It's been amazing to be a contributor to that.
Wow. How did you learn yourself to go from bankruptcy to getting it?
Yeah. So the first thing that happened that was really powerful, and I don't know if this happens everywhere else, but in Delaware, the bankruptcy trustee required that I take a financial literacy course. And so that financial literacy course was really the first step of understanding money, money as a system and how it is governed in our country and what money actually is and what it means and how we should relate to money. So that was the first thing. The job that I went back to during those destitute years was a women's business center here in the state of Delaware. So they actually hired me because I was very successful in Mary Kay Cosmetics to run the women's business center. Well, the blessing in that was that I learned about business planning. I didn't know that you, before you start a business, you create a business plan. I just started a business. I got some business cards. I got a website template and I started telling people what I did, right? So I learned about business planning. I have my MBA in marketing. So I've always known and have been really good with marketing. And I define marketing as deploying a compelling and contrarian message to your ideal client in a way that shows them that you have the solution that they've been looking for to solve the problem they haven't been successful at solving on their own. And so I took what I knew about marketing in that Women's Business Center and turned their programs around. So that gave me the competence and the confidence to start doing it for myself. So when I first came back out into the marketplace, I was a motivational speaker and I was a marketing consultant. So I started working with businesses just on their marketing. And then I realized that that was only one piece of the pie. And that if I really wanted them to scale and sustain their businesses, I was going to have to work with them on all the components of their business. So I started tapping into what I learned in corporate America. I mean, I ran a department. You know, I wasn't chopped liver. You know, I knew how to read financial statements. I knew how to make decisions based on the data. So I really started tapping into what I knew, recognizing that I was going to have to do some tweaking to make it fit entrepreneurship. But I started leveraging what I already knew and I watched success come into the lives of my clients. I did it once and then I did it twice and then I did it five times. And then I said, wait a minute, we have a process. We have created a framework, a methodology that we can use with our clients to help them to predict their results. And so I started building out what is today the Move to Millions method and just perfecting it and tweaking it. Every client I worked with tweaked it a little bit more until we got it to the point where we could present it in a mass market kind of way. And then I started to add leverage to my own business. So I stopped working with clients one-on-one and I started inviting them into group containers to work with me and to learn how to build their businesses. And, you know, as they say, the rest is kind of history. But it started from almost like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, realizing that I had the power all along. And, you know, filing bankruptcy, it's a blow to the ego. And it, yeah. You know, it's enough to make you stop and question and wonder if you are worthy. And so temporarily I did lose sight, but then I recognized that no matter what you give me, I can rebuild it. And I've done it. You know, I filed bankruptcy at 35. By 38, I was a millionaire, bona fide millionaire, not just based on my health, but my house, I had assets. Right. And we've multiplied that many times over. And today I'm worth eight figures. And so I just learned or remembered how to bet on me because I had been betting on me since I was a child. Right. Since making that very first decision that I was not going to be a product of my environment. And I just started betting on myself again. And, you know, I hired my own coaches and mentors and, you know, learned processes and systems and things that would aid me that, you know, would help me to do what it is that I needed to do to move my own business forward while also creating my own systems and frameworks that I could utilize to help our clients.
Mm-hmm. So what is Move to Millions, right?
So Move to Millions is my God-ordained movement. 2020 is when God gave me Move to Millions. I had been praying and asking, what is my movement, right? We're talking about beyond your why. I believe that your why is only significant if it's not about you, right? Like we have to go deep enough into asking ourselves why we do anything that it is that we do in order to uncover the true purpose of why it is that we do it, right? I always say if your why doesn't make you cry, then you don't really know your why. Like you've got to get beyond the surface. And so I had been praying for a way to really impact the planet substantially. I love business. I have come to learn and love money and love how it moves and how you work with it and how it relates to business. And I really wanted to create an environment to help more people like me, similar to me, to understand how to build wealth through their business. I believe that entrepreneurship is the vehicle that God created for us to experience wealth. And if that is in fact the case, then we've got to learn business, and we've got to learn specifically how to build businesses that generate 7 and 8 figures so that we have enough to live our best life, to support the communities and do good, and to be able to create a financial legacy for the generations that will come behind us. And so for me, Move to Millions is my response to small business poverty. I believe a small business that is in poverty is a low six-figure business, because if you make $100,000, $120,000, $180,000 a year, by the time you factor in everything that goes into making that money, you got about $40,000 left over. And you cannot be the change you want to see when you don't have any. And so I believe a seven-figure business is the floor, not the ceiling. And I am on a personal mission to change the statistics. 4.2% of all businesses make seven figures. 1.9% of women-owned businesses make seven figures. 0.5% of Black women-owned businesses make seven figures. We got to change that. That's not enough.
Wow. I love that. And so I hear you talking about money differently than most people talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk about it in a way where you don't want to talk about it, or you don't, you know what I mean? You don't like make it a taboo subject, right?
Yeah.
You talk about faith that way as well. So you're talking about things that people don't necessarily like to talk about.
Yeah. I'm a disruptor.
And, yeah. It's a disruptor.
Yeah.
So how did that... How was that received, and how do you think about money? Like, what's the way you talk and think about money? How is it different?
So how is it received? I think it makes people uncomfortable, but it also makes them curious. You know, in the United States, because that's my realm of experience, regardless of whether you come from money or not, money was something you never talked about. It was rude to ask someone how much money they make. It was rude to think about making more money, right? And then if you add in the religious filter, you know, we as a nation are not agnostic to God. I mean, our money says in God we trust, and our politicians in every speech, God bless America. So if you add religion into talking about money, because Christianity is based in Catholicism, Catholicism says you are more holy if you are poor. So money is just this taboo thing for a lot of people. But I also recognize that the Bible talks about money, wealth, and possessions 2,300 times. God talked about money, wealth, and possessions more than he talked about heaven or hell, because it's that important that we master it. And so I've made it my personal mission to talk about it as much, to make people so uncomfortable that eventually they get comfortable with it. Because once we normalize it, it takes the sting and the agita out of it so that you can move with it. Money is a flow and a currency that is supposed to move. So how do I see money? I believe that the way you see money is about the way you see yourself. If you have worthiness or deserve level issues, it will impact your money. And so for me, my biggest mission is to help people to see themselves the way that I believe God sees them. You know, we were created with a purpose. Every single one of us. We are here to make the planet better. That is worth. There is value in that. And when we understand that, the way we show up is different. We become more confident, right? And that confidence will open up more doors and even close more sales than any skill set that we could possibly have. And we were born that way. And so for me, when it comes to money, I believe that it is an energy. It is a transactional energy and current that is always flowing. I believe that it never stops flowing. I believe that if it is not flowing to you, there is something that you are doing or not doing that is disrupting the flow, because its nature is to move, and it needs to move in order to fulfill the commandments for which it was created. If we look back in the Bible as early as Genesis and talking about legal tender, right? It wasn't always a denara is what it was called in biblical days. It wasn't always what we know now as denaro, right? It wasn't always that. First it was cattle, right? But there was a transactional energy and value associated that was exchanged in order to get the things that we want. There's always been that. And every single day, every single one of us makes multiple decisions around money. If you get up out of your bed in the morning and you turn on a light, eventually you're going to get an electric bill. Right. If you decide to turn on your water to take a shower, guess what? There's going to be a water bill that shows up. If you go out to your car and you start it and you recognize you don't have any gas, you're going to have to go give money to get gas. If you don't take your lunch to work, or if you're eating, you had to go to the grocery store and give them money in exchange for food. Every day we make money decisions, but we act as if there's something taboo to say we want money, we desire money, we need more money. And it's not like money needs purpose to come in, and it is only in purpose that money will flow to you. And so for me, it's about normalizing how to see money and how to see yourself and how to change your relationship within it, because we're all in a relationship with it anyway. And if we're not careful, that relationship is a thin line between love and hate, when it could be in a loving and fulfilled relationship. And so when I help my clients shift the way they see money by shifting the way that they see themselves, then they can raise their rates and they can have healthy profit margins and they can charge more than it costs so that they can experience profitability, so that there is something in their business aside from all of the work that they're doing that they can use to live their best life, to go on vacation, to send their kids to college, to put in a trust fund. That becomes available when we understand that money only takes on and amplifies whatever meaning we've given to it. And so if I can change the way you see money and the way you see yourself, then I can change how much money you have access to.
Wow. For those of you that are listening, Darnielle's why, like we talked about, was to contribute to a greater cause, right? Add value, have an impact in the lives of others, as you can see. Now, how she does that is by challenging the status quo and thinking differently, getting people to think differently. And ultimately, what she brings are better ways to move forward. And you can see that loud and clear, right? She's wanting to help other people have a bigger impact by getting them to see everything differently, see themselves differently, see money differently, see possibilities differently. But ultimately, you bring them better ways, which are your processes and systems to get them there. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yep. Well said.
Yeah. And so if there are, like, what's next for you? Tell us where you're going next. You're already, well, first of all, who is it that would be an ideal client for you? Who are you looking to help?
Yeah, so our primary client, we have a few different programs that we offer, but the primary client that we work with is a business owner that is somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000. They technically have a $1 million company right now. It's just not packaged, priced, positioned, and the processes aren't set up in a way that it will allow it to become more profitable. So we like to get in there, you know, put our both hands fully in their business, identify the gaps, and turn them into gateways to their next level. So that's who we really love working with. And we spend a lot of time with them in our Move to Millions Mastermind. But in addition to that, we work with millions-minded entrepreneurs and CEOs. So they know that millions are their birthright, and they want to learn how to build businesses that serve them financially and spiritually without having to hustle and grind in order to have more money come into their life experience so that they can shift generational curses. They can change the wealth trajectory in their family. Like I said earlier, many of our clients are the first, and this is new to them. And just because they're the first, they won't be the last, because they'll be able to learn how to create a dynamic that really changes things. We have clients who, you know, when they first started working with us, their children were 8, 9, 10 years old. And now their children are adults, grown, and they're remembering the lessons that mommy and daddy were listening to in the car as they were driving here and there about how to shift the way that they think. And they're growing into confident young adults who won't have to meander in some of the ways that we did because there wasn't anyone there to tell us. One of the things that I really love about my gift is that my way of taking complex concepts and breaking them down to make them palatable, palpable, and implementable for people is the reason why we see our clients get such great results in coming to work with us. When I wrote my book, Move to Millions, I wrote it for anyone who has millions on their mind, who wants to learn what it's going to take to get there and to challenge the belief that they have to hustle and grind. There are so many memes floating around the marketplace right now that says, wake, grind, repeat. Well, I don't believe you have to grind. Is there work to be done? Yes. But can you set up systems and infrastructure to do that work? I heard this quote a few days ago. You don't rise to the level of your goals. You rise to the level of your systems. And so we're really big into helping our clients create the right systems and strategy and infrastructure so their business can create predictable success for them, so that as they scale, they don't become one-hit wonders, but they actually sustain it and continue to grow year over year over year over year. Our approach to coaching and consulting is very unique because we do integrate a lot of mindset work and spiritual principles in our business growth strategy, which is why our clients get amazing results in a short period of time.
So if you could, you know, condense it down to one thing. If there's one thing that you see that the ones who succeed have versus the ones who don't succeed have, what would that one thing be?
Mindset. They have a success mindset.
What does that mean?
So I believe that mindset is 95% of our success. I believe that skill is only 5%. I can teach you how to do anything if you believe you are worthy and deserving to receive the outcome of that thing. And so helping a person understand the powerful correlation between their conscious mind and their subconscious mind, their positive beliefs and their limiting beliefs, their strong convictions, and how all of those things play into how they show up for themselves, right? There's a formula or a continuum that I didn't create, but I absolutely subscribe to, that it says your thoughts are equal to your feelings and beliefs, which affect the words that you speak and the actions you take and ultimately the results that you get. So if you think I want $1 million, multi-million, a $10 million company, but you feel and believe that that is a lot of money that you are not worthy of, you will then speak against your desire to get your business to the $10 million mark, which means that you will take actions that keep you meandering at a lower level and prevent you from getting the result of getting to the $10 million mark. So success mindset and doing the work there to understand the role that neuroscience plays in your ability to achieve, to understand the role that peak performance plays in your ability to achieve, to understand the role that the way you see yourself plays in your ability to achieve. If I can shift those things, then I can teach you how to market. I can teach you how to sell. I can teach you how to speak on a stage. I can teach you how to create a signature system. I can teach you anything if you are willing to challenge what has been the truth for you up until this point in your life in such a way that you open up to the possibility of a new and exciting, more aligned truth for yourself.
That is awesome. And what part does knowing your why play in all of this?
Oh, it starts at the beginning. One of the very first exercises we do with our clients based on Simon Sinek's book, right? Start with why. Why are you doing this? Because what I know, and I know it personally as well, I've seen it, we've worked with thousands of entrepreneurs and small business owners at this point, is if your why is not deep enough, you will abandon the mission. And so it's got to be bigger than you. And so we literally ask our clients to tell us why they started their business. And the first answer is always really surface. Well, I started my business because I didn't like my job and I wanted to make more money. Well, why? Well, because I really wanted to have a better life. Well, why? Well, because when I was growing up, there weren't a lot of people that looked like me that had a great life. Well, why? Well, because when I was a little girl, my mom said, like, if we get to the real reason, and how does that why actually impact the way you want to show up today? And then they start talking about their kids, because I don't want my children to have to experience what I experience, right? I want to leave this world a better place than I found it. And so when we connect to that level of why, we know that they have enough courage, confidence, and conviction to do the hard stuff. Because sometimes as the CEO of a company, guess what? You're going to have to make tough decisions. Sometimes you're going to have to dust yourself off after you failed miserably, after it didn't work. I've had launches where no one signed up, Dr. Gary. And I thought whatever I was offering was the best thing since pockets. And for whatever reason, it didn't translate and no one enrolled. And if I would have stopped then, I would have not been living my why, which is I do this work because I want to shift generational trajectories and introduce wealth in places that for people who never thought it was possible for them to have wealth. I wouldn't be able to do that if I gave up at the first sign of defeat. And so connecting to the why and getting beyond the why is how we do the work that shakes the planet. That's why I love what it is that you're doing. And you've created a whole nother science on this work, way deeper than we've ever gone with our clients, to break down the types of whys you could have and how that relates to how you show up in the world. Is so powerful. And it is it's an anchor. It's a grounding point that will keep you coming back to what you're called to do, even when you don't want to. I mean, there are days, Dr. Gary, that I don't want to get out of the bed and get up and do this, but I do, because it isn't about me.
Yep.
It's about that person that I'm going to literally change their life. I have clients who their children are growing up in families that are worth millions because of the work that I did with their parents. I have children who are going to college and their parents are able to pay for it. They don't need to get student loans because they learned how to grow a business that gave them wealth. If I stopped doing what I do, then I wouldn't have those hundreds of success stories out in the world right now. It's so much bigger than me. So much bigger.
I love it. I love it. Last question for you, Darnielle. What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given, or the best piece of advice you've ever given?
The best piece of advice I have ever been given is to never give up. You never know what's coming around the next corner. So get up one more time. If it didn't work, turn that opportunity into feedback. I've always believed that failure is feedback. So evaluate it, run a SWOT analysis on it. See what, if you tweaked, you could do it differently to produce a different result, because you never know when it's going to hit, when it's going to land, right? I have done some amazing things in my lifetime, and I still know I'm barely scratched the surface. I can't give up now. I haven't reached the pinnacle. I think about that Irma Bombeck quote. She says, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I hope not to have a single bit of talent left, saying I used everything you gave me. I haven't used everything he's given me yet. So I can't give up. I have to keep going, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't work, even when they tell me no, I still have to get up one more time, because it only takes one yes to shift the trajectory, to create a new reality, and to put you on a path that will allow you to arrive at the destiny that you were designed to have on this planet.
I love it. Yeah, and that is so good. Darnielle, if there are people listening that want to work with you, hire you, connect with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, if you go to movetomillions.com, that website will give you a link to every possible place you could find me. So if you want to learn about my book, my podcast, our live events, our coaching programs, movetomillions.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. It was awesome talking to you. It was great hearing your story, and I love that. Never give up.
Never give up.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I really hope you enjoyed today's episode, and that through today's guest, you heard how important it is to know your why and how impactful it can be in your life and the lives of those around you. Be sure to head over to whyinstitute.com and discover your why today. Remember, the more you know about yourself, the more you'll know about others. I'm Dr. Gary Sanchez, and I'll see you on the next episode.